his love never runs out on me.
Got a picture even before the song was sung of someone just holding a bag full of stones, and obviously the stones were heavy, and actually the Lord saying, just let go of those stones, and those stones in our lives that we hold on to, you know, that actually just makes the journey so heavy and so burdensome. And Jesus says, cast your burdens on me because I care for you. And the Lord just wants us to release those stones and actually just lift our hands up to Him and receive from Him. Amen.
So, yeah, I feel we're going to just be in this place just a couple of more minutes. And I want to encourage us as we finish off this time and as the musicians just continue to play and maybe sing that song over us, over the congregation, is this is a time especially for you, between you and God. Maybe you have got some of those stones that you need to let go of, or maybe it's just you're really hungry for the Lord and for knowing more of His love. Or maybe you're in a good place and you just want to say, God, I want to pour out my love on you. I want to come and say how much I love you. Whatever you are right now, come and let's respond to what God is doing in us and in your heart. And so for the next couple of minutes, just respond to the Lord, whatever He's doing in your heart right now, as we listen to this song again and as we finish off this time. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord.
Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Stay in the space just a little bit longer. Okay, Gwen is feeling to share something with us, so let's open up our hearts to hear what God has put on her heart.
I just felt in the prayer meeting before, and It talks about in Romans 5, verse 5, it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts, the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. And on one side, we've got this place where we actually can stand secure in the Lord's love because he's given it to us. And then there are times where we go through really difficult times and we carry those stones and the journey is tough. And those places, those times are called the wilderness. And often that place is a place where there's temptation, where there's testing, where there's trials. And what does the Lord do in that place? He often comes and strips us of self-reliance and starts to rely on him. And in Song of Songs 8 verse 5, it says, she came out of the wilderness, out of the desert, leaning heavily on her lover. And so on one side, we stand secure because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And on the other side, we then lean heavily on our lover. We lean heavily on Jesus, even in those difficult times, because he's stripping away the things that are not of him so that we can be image bearers of who Jesus, of this incredible God that we serve. And so the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. But yet we need to lean on him to receive his love.
Amen. I'm going to pray for us. Father God, we come to you tonight and we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you, God, that you are love, perfect love. And Lord, we come as your church, as your family here this evening, to declare the manifold wisdom of God to the in the heavenly realms, to the heavenly beings, Lord, to come and declare you, to declare your goodness, your love. And so we come and we just with grateful hearts tonight. And we come and we worship you and praise you, God. We come and just fall flat on our faces before you, your incredible power, your incredible majesty. And we come and declare, God, you are good. And your faithful love endures forever. Thank you, God. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Please find your seats. It's not finished. We're trusting for even more from the Lord this evening as we come to gather around and listen to his word. So let's continue to keep our hearts open to hear what God has put on Cliff's heart for us this evening. Thank you, Cliff. Bless you.
Awesome. Yeah. I think that's it's an image that sticks in my mind, just that as Kegwin just said over there, leaning heavily on her lover. You know, there's this leaning heavily on the Lord. And actually, the Lord's heart, you know, is one of love towards us, each one of us. And I wanted to look at just going through, I was going to head my title, Devotion. You know, and whenever we speak about devotion, we think about that scripture, that Acts 2:42. You know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread, to prayer, and so there's this normally when we talk about devotion, we talk about us as believers being devoted to the Lord. And actually, you know, I want to just bring us back and look at our example of Jesus actually in devotion. And so that's what I want us to think about, is actually, you know, what is Jesus' response to us? What is Jesus' response to the Father? And I want to put this forward to you, and I trust that you pick up something of the heart of God. I don't want this to get technical. It's really, I'm not a theologian, and there's no ways that I'm going to get it. So I'm asking for the Lord's grace to communicate correctly and accurately just about him. And I want to start, and there's talk about first, just briefly, about Jesus' devotion to the Father's will. And Jesus is, and you can imagine that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said and prayed, and he's recognizing, you know, his time is coming to die and suffer for the sins of you and me. And he says to the Lord, you know, if it be, Lord, you know, take this cup from me, but your will, not my will. You know, and so we have this picture of Jesus who is in a moment of desperation when he's praying. It talks about the blood, the sweat like blood dripping from him. I don't know if you've been in such a hectic place of stress. I don't think any of us have actually been in such a place where we sweated blood. You know, and yet in that moment, Jesus is saying, your will, you know, and Jesus is our example. He's the one that we follow, and he's the one that we look to. And in that place, he is doing, he's saying, your will, Father. You know, our natural response is, whoa, this is a bit heavy for me. I'm going to bail out. I'm pulling out now. I want to do my will, you know. Isn't that so? Inside of us, there's this thing that I want to do what I want to do. But when the pressure's on, then it really is exposed. And in that moment, Jesus is saying, your will. Yeah. And I want to go to that scripture in John 6. Well, not the one that I mentioned, but in John 6, Jesus talks about doing the will of the Father. And John 6, verse 38. Have we managed it? Okay. Shot. For I have come down, Jesus is speaking, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. So this is Jesus speaking. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I'll raise him up on the last day. And this is the will of God, and this is the devotion. I want you to see the devotion of Jesus to the will of God. And he says that he will not even lose one that the Father has given them. That's you and me that have given our lives to the Lord, that have given our lives fully to the Lord. You know, he says he will not lose one of us. You know, and we ask, how is that going to happen? You know, how's the Lord going to keep us? And this is actually a picture of salvation, and it's an aspect of our salvation. This, and I want to look at that and just say, okay, Jesus is committed to us. He's devoted to seeing us come through. Every one of us. He said he will not lose one of us. But he's got a way of doing it. And remember, it's not our way, it's his way. We might think we know how this thing goes, but it's his way. And so, Jesus, I want to, in Ephesians 5, Jesus' devotion to the church is devoted in keeping those that the Father has given him. That's what Jesus is doing. He's devoted to that. And so how does that work out? You know? And so we look in Ephesians 5, and it says, and he talks about this submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And he goes in verse 25, and it talks, and obviously it starts in 21, and it talks about how wives are to submit to their husbands in all things. And in verse 25, it says, for husbands, this means submitting out of reverence to Christ. It says, verse 25, we go there. For husbands, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church. And so we got a picture here of how Jesus loved the church, and a picture for us as husbands of how we are to love our wives. It says, just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. So Jesus loved us, you and me, so much, actually, that he gave up his life so that we could be pure, holy, and clean. And you might think, well, you know what? That can't be me. I've done, there's so much history of what I've done wrong. How can the Lord ever forgive me? How can the Lord ever work in my life? But this is the God that loves us. And he's made a way for us. And this is actually part of his plan of salvation for us, is that he wants to make us holy. That's why he died, to make us acceptable to the Father. And so, he can make us spotless. And I want to drop that for you, those of you feeling like, the Lord has done something in my life, but you know, there's so much stuff that's still got to be done. It's a process. And this is the extent of his love, that he died for you so that you can be pure and spotless, so that you can go and walk in his ways and walk that process out of becoming pure and spotless. In 1 Peter 2 verse 5, this is Jesus. Imagine this picture. Jesus has given up his life for you to actually get you pure and spotless, to work in your life. There's a way that he's going to keep you, a way that he's going to keep you to the end. And that's the way of actually, are we actually allowing him in? Are we allowing him in to work in those areas where we're not pure and spotless? And as believers, this is something that's continuous in our lives and should be. We should be more and more looking like him. If you think about your life, there should be things jumping up. Whoa, God knows about that, but nobody else. But God can work that and transform you so that you look like him. And so you're in this process, actually, where he's given, this is the extent of his love, he's given up his life so that he can form Christ in you. What is Jesus? It talks about Jesus in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 as the builder of his church. That's interesting. The builder of his church. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is we already have, Jesus Christ. We can't build on anything else. This is who we build on, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. In Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, and Jesus promises this. So this is another aspect of you seeing the love of God towards us. Is actually, it says in Matthew 16, verse 18, says, Jesus promises, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus is the foundation in our lives, but we are also being built. We are being built, and he says he will build his church. And there's a word that came out and up in the prayer meeting, and Tracy had a word about the living stones in 1 Peter 2 verse 5. It talks about you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. It says, you are those living stones. You know, I've had a floor laid with stones. I've got a whole lot of stones in my backyard. It's like, I don't know what to do with them all. So, okay, well, let's build a flat section. Andre gave me someone to help. And so that's what sort of happened last week, was a little section so I could park the caravan on. And you know what? They put the stones in and got it around about level. It's going to be a bit of a push for the caravan to get over. But when I think of, and next to it, you know, there's a stone wall, an old stone wall built probably in the 1944, somewhere around there on the property. But then I look at these houses that the stones have been cut and placed perfectly. If you look at some of these old houses, and a mason has chopped each edge, and so there's a building of that building that's by an expert builder. There's a putting together of those houses where rocks fit together, and actually you are a stone that has been built in. This is the plan of God, actually, in salvation, is that we are built together into each other's lives. There's this knocking off. You know, when Enver talks to me about the preach later or gives me some perspective, there's a rubbing off of maybe a sharp edge in my life so that I fit better with him, shoulder to shoulder. And so there should be that, where there's this knocking off of edges so that actually we become this building that houses the presence of the Lord. That we are being built together, the word says, built together. It's not just a slapdash throwing stones down and throwing concrete between. And there's no work on the stones. There's work on the stones. As believers, there's work on each one of us. This is part of the love of God, actually, and his plan to hold us and keep us until he comes and not lose us. And so if we are part, if we are actually in each other's lives to that degree, we're feeling the rub of each other. We're feeling that closeness, but we've been built together. And there's something of joining of hearts and becoming a solid wall. You know, I had the privilege yesterday to go on a hike at Gert and Alet's farm over there. And, you know, I just thought about their lives and just how they've come into the life of the church and they've found family. And there's been connection. There's been bricks being put together. And they experience something of the Lord's salvation, actually, in them, through the body working in their lives, through the conversations that they have with those that love them and care for them, you know, and help direct them. And then, would you guys like to just give us a picture of that? I haven't prepped them at all. Maybe 2 minutes. You guys, I've thrown them in the deep end here, big time. But I want you to see something of what the Lord's plan in salvation, in putting them in part of family, and putting them into family.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
It's not a preacher.
Thanks
I'm
a
just
lot.
Saying 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, we've been coming here since May of last year, and yeah, what a change in our life it's been. And I discovered yesterday the true meaning of the family feeling that the people that are in this room means to us. Yesterday, after everyone left, I happened to walk down to where we had the Boerewors braai and sat in the circle and chatted and shared a meal. And there was no one there. And the last time I had that feeling was when my children visit and they leave. You say, oh, my son and I were sitting there doing that. Or my daughter and I were there doing that. Or we were busy with this. And the place felt so empty yesterday after you guys had left. And that means a lot. That truly means a lot. It means to me, I think to us, it means in terms of the feeling of family, the growing of the family of Christ in Christ. We are busy with the This Is Church course, and we did all the different portions of the body of Christ and how it grows, and one cannot exist without the other. And the grace, the friendship, the love of this family. And I don't want to talk to him because I'm getting emotional. Yeah, do you want to say something? No, she'll definitely cry.
Thank you. Awesome, man. Yeah, just, you know, that for me is just seeing what the Lord has done in them, in that they were isolated, really, over there, and the Lord's put them in family. And in that process of putting them in family, salvation has come to them. They've come to know the Lord. They got baptized, what was it, a month ago, around about. And so there's a change in our lives, and each one of us are actually in this process as we recognize Jesus works through his church, actually, to establish actually his kingdom through us and bring actually salvation to us. So then it talks about Jesus, Ephesians 1 verse 23 talks about Jesus as the head of the body. And remember, I'm giving you bits of what Jesus is so that you can recognize how he keeps us, how he holds on to us, and he doesn't lose any that the Father has given him. This is part of his plan, and he is the head of the body, and his body, he's the one that we look to, he's the one that we follow. And actually in our lives there should be a more and more this visible thing of he is the head of me. He is my Lord. He's the one that I follow. You know, I'm not following the latest fad or the latest things. I'm following Jesus. And so there's a, we come under the headship of Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 17, it talks about he existed. Colossians 1 verse 17. Okay. Okay, but I'm gonna read it. Colossians 1 verse 17 says, he existed before, okay, there we are. He existed before anything else began, and he holds all creation together. And so there's a recognizing of Jesus. Actually, because of Jesus, I am standing here in front of you. I'm not dead. I haven't succumbed to, I had a pulmonary embolism some years back, but I haven't succumbed. This whole body is being held and sustained by Jesus. You in your body, everything holds together by Jesus. It's been held, it was created, you were created through Jesus and for Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And so there's this recognizing of actually he's the one that sustains us. He's the head of the church, but he's our sustainer. He gives us the energy to serve him, and he's our provider. And you know what else he's doing? What Jesus is doing? This is the extent of his devotion to us. The extent of Jesus' devotion to seeing Christ himself formed in us. Because in John 17, verse 20 to 26, Jesus is praying, and he says that, I am praying not only for these disciples, looking at these disciples around him, but he says, but also for all who will ever believe in me. Who's that? That's us. That's what Jesus is doing. He is praying and interceding. He is the high priest. And it says, I pray, and this is what he's, this is the heart of Jesus. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. And then he's talking about the Father. And so just, he's praying for us and saying, as Jesus is saying, as I am in unity with the Father, the three God in one, there's this, the Trinity is one, so distinct. It's one, he is one. And so he prays for us that we be one. And it says over here, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. And so there's this unity that that Jesus is praying for us, that we be so unified. How can we get to that place? Unless we are understanding Jesus' plan. Unless we're understanding his plan with us in church, in his church. Functioning together, each part, like had mentioned over there, each part doing what the Lord has called them to do. Each one of you have a part to play. And as that's happening, there's something of the glory of God seen, and there's a oneness that Jesus has prayed for us that becomes visible in his church. May they experience such perfect unity that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then, when they see all the glory you have given me because you loved me even before the world began, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. That's to us, that he will continually reveal himself. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. How can we be in Christ? Exactly like that. In him. As we are walking in unity, we will be in him. You know, this is the plan of Jesus, the love of Jesus for us. And it's actually, it's the Bible talks about how can we ignore such a great salvation? How can we ignore what Jesus has done for us? And the Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we don't ignore this great salvation? And, you know, we often think, how can we ignore such a great salvation? But actually, for those that do ignore it, there's punishment. And yet God has made a way actually for us to live in it now. To live in this family, live in this and experience something of his love for us as he shapes and molds us so that we become more like him. So actually there's salvation that comes to us. We get saved. The Bible talks about we get saved when we give our life to Jesus, but there's a being saved. There's a process of us becoming more like Christ. And so as we listen to him, as we see his plan for us, there's this, I recognize your plan for me, Lord Jesus. I recognize that you want to bring about salvation actually through, you know, this other brick that's next to me. Actually, you know, the Philip coming in, having a coffee with me, there's a recognition, okay, there's a rubbing of the bricks together so that Christ can be formed in me. And there's actually, it's the plan of Jesus. It's a plan of Jesus for each one of us. Amen. I want us to maybe just, let's just come before the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your plan for salvation, Lord. Lord, that you've desired that none, God, none, you miss none, Lord, that the Father has given you, God. And there's a plan that you have for each one of us, God. And I thank you that tonight, I pray that those who recognize your hand upon their life, Lord, that they recognize that you are actually wanting to draw them closer into family. You want to do them good, God. You want to build in them Jesus so that they can shine you. Lord, I pray, God, just even today as we just see something of your plan for us, Lord, that you've designed us, God, and you want to build in us and shape us to be more like you. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you so loved us, God, that you came and gave yourself. You gave your life for us, God, so that we can be pure and spotless. And Lord, many of us know full well, Lord, we are nowhere near perfect, nowhere near spotless. But Lord, you are the one that we cover ourselves with. You are the one that we, Lord, come to. And Lord, you give us your righteousness. You've made a way for us to be right before you. You've got this plan of salvation for each one of us. And so, Lord, I pray, God, just that tonight even, Lord, that as we see it, Lord, that we draw near to you, Lord, because you love us.